You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. I would say happy Monday, and I do certainly wish you and yours a happy Monday, but it is a deeply concerning for Monday for anyone that cares about our children's education. Breaking news this hour that we're going to start with here on the Top of the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll be joined all afternoon by one of my favorite guest co-hosts, Matt Rothschild. Matt and I, we finally have a show where we have zero guests, Matt, not a one, which means you and I get to have a conversation and include all of you in the many, many topics that we've got queued up for everybody this afternoon, and including the whistleblower in the Obrego Garcia case, which relates to the upcoming hearings on the appointment of Emil Bove to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. We have the Turning Point Conference, an absolutely mind-boggling sound coming out of that circus act for sure. We have the cover-ups of cover-ups. We've got, of course, the Lee Harvey Oswald files, the new reporting that, in fact, yes, the CIA was well aware of Lee Harvey Oswald and, in fact, lied about it to the American people for numerous years. And if that conspiracy of conspiracies wasn't enough, boy, do we have some backlash relating to Jeffrey Epstein. It continues to get worse and worse for Donald Trump. And accordingly, his Truth Social posts are getting more and more unhinged, as if that was possible. We may even get to the potential firing of Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, who is considered by many economists and folks that work in financial markets as a stalwart, a bulwark against Donald Trump's bid to have control over the Fed, to strip away its independence and really to just have his political bagman running the Fed and setting the interest rates, which no one thinks would be a good idea. We've got this and so much more, but let's return to this breaking news. Then I'll bring Matt in and we will light up this discussion this afternoon. So much to get to. The reason that I say it's not a good afternoon for those of you, those of us that care deeply about our children's education, just within the last hour, the U.S. Supreme Court, through its shadow docket, this is the emergency docket, clearing the way for the Trump administration to eliminate the Federal Department of Education. Despite that, doing so would require the approval of Congress. This was in yet another unsigned order with no explanation. However, Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson dissented from this emergency order. All of the courts that had considered this question to date saw through what they described as basically being a fig leaf of excuse. This isn't about the executive branch managing the Department of Education. It's not even about them reforming the Department of Education. All of the judges that have looked at this case to date have all concluded that is, of course, smokescreen, that Donald Trump actually meant what he said when he said during his, oh, yes, inauguration ceremony and during the ceremony where he signed the executive order to close the Department of Education, that's what they're doing. They're not faithfully executing the laws that were enacted by Congress and signed by a prior president that created the Department of Education. They're not helping the department run more efficiently or effectively. No, he said, we're going to shut it down and shut it down as quickly as possible. The Supreme Court of the United States, in what many consider to be a sadly expected but nonetheless shocking decision, simply given the scale of the cuts and the explicit on the record intent of Donald Trump to shut down a congressionally enacted, approved, and funded department. So we'll start there, Matt. Again, I wasn't surprised by this. This Supreme Court has now proven itself to be utterly unconcerned with executive branch power overreach, particularly enamored with this president. Their decisions don't hold any sort of consistent theoretical approach when you compare executive branch use of authority under President Biden. They stepped in and stopped him from doing far more actions than they have President Trump. it seems to be simply a rubber stamp at this point, Matt.
Yeah, they're just expanding presidential power left and right here. And I wanted to draw our listeners' attention to the great dissent by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who called this decision indefensible. She said the majority is either willfully blind to the implications of its ruling or naive, but either way, the threat to our Constitution's separation of powers is grave. And she went on to talk about the harm that's going to happen. She says, rather than wait for legislative action to begin shuttering the department, McMahon, head of the department, slashed the agency's workforce in half, concededly without analyzing the effect of those terminations on the department's statutorily mandated functions. And she added, the court's decision will unleash untold harm, delaying or denying educational opportunities and leaving students to suffer from discrimination, sexual assault, and other civil rights violations without the federal resources Congress intended. Wow.
Yeah, and this, we had, folks, if you want to participate this afternoon, please, by all means, Matt and I love to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I have struggled with how to explain in a really plain manner and a way that would resonate to people, Matt, that the MAGA plan, the Project 2025 plan, and maybe Jamie can find the Russell vote from that we had from 2021, where he says this out loud. He's like, what we're going to do is everywhere we can so inhibit the operations of these federal agencies, these federal departments. We're going to slash their budgets. We're going to push workers out. We're going to fire workers. We're going to furlough, do whatever it can. And we're going to make it so hard for people to do their jobs that they'll want to leave. We'll so starve these federal agencies of funding that they will simply collapse. That is what the big brutal bill was attempting to do. It is one of the steps along that pathway, and you see it in every single other executive order that Donald Trump has signed since he's become president. None of this has anything to do with making things run more efficiently or effectively, because if it was, as Justice Sotomayor just pointed out, you would do an analysis to ensure that you were that department was still able to execute its essential functions. None of those kinds of analyses have been done here. This is not an audit process to identify waste. This is starve government so you can drown it in a bathtub. Like, that is what this is about. This is about getting rid of regulations that protect regular people. This is about getting rid of departments that protect people's civil rights, that look out for the little guy and gal. This is about getting rid of any oversight that helps ensure fair playing fields for small businesses. And to what end? To give our corporate overlords and our billionaire overlords untrammeled power to do whatever they want with very low taxes. That is the end sum game, to basically break the back of the federal government, except, of course, for federal defense contractors, which I'm sure we'll make out like, you know, a field day, those that run private prisons, you know, that build concentration camps in places like Florida. And now they're looking at doing another one of those concentration camps elsewhere in the country. That's who's doing well here. That's it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jacob, let me know when you've got the vote sound talking about trauma and impacting our workers and him saying exactly what I just said he said, because here we've got it. Let's take a listen. This is Russell Vogt talking to a pro-Trump PAC back in, I believe, 2021.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
That is what it's about. That's not me making that up. That's Russell Vogt. And it's so bizarre to me, Matt, that all of this, like almost every bit of what seems to be distinct news stories today actually links up together, right? Because, and I'll do this right now, I'll pull it all together for everybody before the end of the show, but follow the bouncing ball, if you will. MAGA is running a conspiracy to dismantle the federal government right now out loud. It's called Project 2025. People didn't want to learn about it or hear about it, so they ignored it. Now that's actually happening. It is out loud, proud illegality. The guy that sits basically at the helm of this entirely unconstitutional, no balance of powers approach to dismantling and breaking the back of the federal government is Russ Vogt, one of the only departments that the Supreme Court has said yet again in an emergency docket case is independent and sits alone is the Federal Reserve. They actually took great care in a different case that had nothing to do with the Federal Reserve, took great care to say that indeed the Fed stood alone in this and that it was independent. They again, couple of lines about this. This was in the Wilcox case about the National Labor Relations Board. But what are they trying to do now? Trump up some bogus stuff to get Jerome Powell fired to pull in Russell Vogt. Well, why does that have anything to do with, you know, Epstein and or the CIA and JFK? As a matter of principle, MAGA has lumped together some of the most insane conspiracy theories, right, and traded on these for such a long time to defend, for example, votes for Donald Trump, i.e. that Democrats are running a global pedophile ring. Like, that's always been the Dan Bongino, Cash Patel, MAGA-verse sort of line on Epstein. That Epstein was going to be the thing that showed all of these terrible Democrats doing terrible things. Well, turns out it might be your guy that's involved. Who knows? We're going to review some of those facts involving Jeff Epstein. But the out loud corruption, the out loud and proud illegality, they've been telling you that they would do these kinds of things for years, and now they're doing it. So whether it's Russ Vogt, who's the next in line to be nominated to be the Fed chair, like that's what people are saying, or we're talking about, you know, again, some of these crazy conspiracy theories, and now Donald Trump losing the grip of some of his base. Careful what you wish for. He may have created a monster that's starting to pull at the reins a bit. We're going to take your calls and dive more deeply into all of this kind of bananas news that we've got going on, including allegations from a whistleblower that folks in the Trump administration made up evidence against Abrego Garcia. You want to talk about corruption and cover-ups? We got it here. That's what this show is going to be about. Join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-757.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got my good friend Matt Rothschild with me. You can find his great work on the podcast Wisconsin Forward, everywhere you get your favorite podcasts. Matt, we've got quite a bit of news to cover this afternoon, and I have wanted to open this up and let folks call in because there are some through lines between all this stuff, from Lee Harvey Oswald to Epstein to the crazy QAnon and MAGA conspiracy machine, to Donald Trump coming face to face with that conspiracy machine and promises broken. Meanwhile, promises kept when it comes to absolutely dismantling the federal government and a Supreme Court that seems utterly, at least six of them, utterly unconcerned. Just within the last hour, again, the Supreme Court greenlighting in its emergency docket, its shadow docket, on a temporary order, greenlighting Donald Trump's continued decimation of the Federal Department of Energy. Here's another line from the dissent from Justice Sotomayor. This case arises out of the president's unilateral efforts to eliminate a cabinet-level agency established by Congress nearly half a century ago. As Congress mandated, the Department of Education plays a vital role in this nation's education system, safeguarding equal access to learning and channeling billions of dollars to schools and students across the country each year. Only Congress has the power to abolish the department. Yet, by executive fiat, the president ordered the Secretary of Education to take all necessary steps to facilitate the closure of the department. Consistent with that order, Linda McMahon gutted the department's workforce, firing 50% of the staff overnight. And in her words, that mass termination served as the first step on the road to a total shutdown of the department.
I got one quote from Sotomayor I want to throw in the mix, too. The majority on the court, she said, apparently deems it more important to free the government from paying employees it had no right to fire than to avert the very real harms that this is going to cause.
Yeah, this I thought was telling. When the executive publicly announces its intent to break the law and then executes on that promise, it is the judiciary's duty to check that lawlessness.
But we've been seeing the Supreme Court just not worry about that at all, whether it's the Department of Education, whether it's birthright citizenship, doesn't matter to the six folks there.
And this is coming in conjunction with, folks, if you don't know who Emile Bove or Bove is, I'm going to spend some goodly time tomorrow with Jim Santel talking about it. Suffice it to say, he's a lawyer hatchet man for Donald Trump. He is in the model of... what's the Trump's old lawyer's name that taught him everything he knows? Deny, attack, that guy. That's Emile Bove. He is totally unqualified to be on the federal court anywhere, specifically an appeals court. Even federalists are opposing him. But the Bove nomination is happening while there is this whistleblower complaint that basically points to folks being told to maybe manufacture evidence against Kilmer Abrego Garcia. And then we had a federal court on Friday basically remind the Trump administration of the law of the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment, which means you can't racially profile people and pull, like, just herd up masses of people who happen to be black or brown or speaking Spanish and then demand that they start producing documents. That's not how it works. It's just been an extraordinary few days. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jake from Milwaukee, say hello to Matt. What you got for us?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Jake.
Oh, I know. I don't want to talk to you. Oh, I just wanted to bring up about, well, the fact that Supreme Court, those six are either Federalist Society members or part of the Federalist Society members, which is created by Leonard Leo. Leo is a Christian Dominionist, just like Russell Vogt, who is an Opus Dei Catholic, second tier, who is actually one of the rare where that he doesn't even have sex, right? He's celibate. So I think there's also a cultural part of this. They want to destroy anything that's not white and Christian in this country. And they want to bring about a second coming of a white, Christianized America, United States. I just wanted to add that. Because
yeah, and Jake's right. I mean, it's coming. If you look and you track back some of the podcasts that J.D. Vance has been on, some of the guys that J.D. Vance has name-checked, it's not just the far sort of Catholic extreme. And by the way, Amy Coney Barrett, there have been claims that she at one point was potentially a member of Opus Dei. I don't know if any of those allegations are true. I don't know if Russell Vogt's celibate or not. But what you can objectively say is that there has now become a preferencing and a privileging of Christianity, especially evangelical Christianity and Catholicism, by the Supreme Court. And there are plenty of political actors out there who have linked their political desires for, quote, natural law or to dismantle the federal government and rebuild it, to have the head of a household, a man, execute all of the votes for that household, to count kids. I mean, there's all sorts of very nutty stuff out there. Matt, your thoughts on Jake's comments?
Well, I appreciate the call, Jake. And yeah, Christian nationalism is on the move here in the United States. I mean, you can see it in Pete Hegseth's stuff. You can see it in the stuff coming out of ICE. I think they did a video recently with a Christian nationalist message. I mean, I don't feel part of that.
Yeah. Scary times these, but our conversation continues on the other side. Tom Holman has been talking at the Turning Point Conference. There's a lot of young people at that same conference, a bit ticked off with our president. We're going to dig into Tom Holman's eyebrow-raising comments, to say the very least, and some of the conservative backlash over Epstein when we return right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Rothschild joins me today as a guest co-host. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Do you know someone who is a Trump voter? Are you a Trump voter who's experiencing a bit of buyer's remorse? Maybe it's over Epstein. Maybe it's over the utter lawlessness of it all. Maybe it's over the deployment of U.S. military to face off against citizens exercising their First Amendment rights in the street. Maybe it's all of the above. I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. Of course, you can weigh on any of the veritable buffet of news stories this afternoon that are truly shocking in both breadth and depth of depravity, debasement, just complete failure to do what is right. And I just have to mention this, some of the reporting on what was communicated by Emil Bove and others in the Department of Justice related to Abrigo Garcia is truly shocking. The whistleblower in this instance is the DOJ lawyer that actually said out loud in a court hearing that deporting Mr. Abrigo Garcia was an administrative error, which the DOJ had already admitted in a pleading. He just said what they had already written in court. That ostensibly got him fired, or at least that's what he's alleging. And he has leaked emails and text messages that basically support the claims that Emil Bove, who was in a leadership position at the DOJ, had told people that we're going to say F you to the courts, and basically looked like they were approaching the line of lying, affirmatively lying to courts and or making up evidence entirely. It is shocking. None of this, of course, seems to bother Tom Holman one little bit. Can you imagine if it was you or someone you loved and Justice Department lawyers were like, yeah, just make up stuff about them, invent evidence, plant it, and now we'll just send them wherever we want to, because, of course, SCOTUS last week greased the skids for the Trump administration to send people to countries that they have never set foot in before without confirming that they will not be subject to torture or other terrible things like South Sudan. And of course, then Todd M. Lyons, acting director of U.S. Customs Enforcement, wrote in a memo to ICE workforce this past Wednesday that, of course, we could start immediately sending people to these alternative countries, some with only 6 hours of notice, making it nearly impossible for many to object to their deportation to some of the most dangerous places on the earth. Let's take a listen, Matt, and we're going to go back to the phones, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Let's take a listen to some Tom Holman showing us what leadership looks like at the Turning Point Action Conference. Let's start with cut two.
I wake up like a kid in a candy shop every day. I'm working for this guy, and you know, every day is an adventure, because I knew he's going to let us do what we do to not only secure the border, but remove millions of illegal aliens that Joe Biden led in this country.
Did we not get the cut of him talking in the very beginning of this speech? Because that's rich. Let's take cut three. This is still Tom Holman at Turning Point just this past weekend.
They got morons like this all over the country.
This because there was a protest.
This guy wouldn't know us like the service nation. This guy ain't got the balls to be an ICE officer. He hasn't got the balls to be a Border Patrol agent. This guy lives in his mother's basement. The only thing that surprised me, you don't have purple hair and a nose ring. Get out of here, you loser. And hey,
really?
And you're such a badass. Meet me off stage in 13 minutes and 50 seconds. I
tough
guarantee
guy.
You, he sits down to pee.
You know, this is just old white guy, macho, heterosexual BS. And it's just, it's unbelievable from a high-ranking official in the U.S. government to be talking like that.
It's, well, and he began his remarks saying, I like to talk a lot of S-word, and I'm a bad blank. This is the guy? Is there nothing that is too debased? I guess we do know what it is for the MAGA base, and it might be the Epstein files, that it's the pedophilia. It's not the rabid mistreatment of humans without probable cause. It's none of that. And by the way, let's talk about probable cause. This is Tom Homan, in part response to that federal court ruling from last week, Wednesday, that I told you all about, where a federal court was basically like, you can't racially profile people. You can't stop people simply because they speak Spanish. That's a violation of constitutional rights. Let's take a listen. Cut four.
Look, people need to understand, ICE officers and Border Patrol, they don't need probable cause to walk up somebody, briefly detain them, and question them. They just need this. So totality of the circumstances, right? They just got through the observation, you know, get articulable facts based on their location, their occupation, their physical appearance, their actions. Like a uniformed Border Patrol agent walks up to them at for instance, a Home Depot. And they got all these articulable facts, plus the person walks away or runs away. Mm-hmm. You know, agents are trained. What they need to detain somebody temporarily and question them. It's not probable cause, it's reasonable suspicion. We're trained on that. Every agent, every 6 months, gets Fourth Amendment training over and over again. These officers are really good at what they do. And if the judge make a decision that's against what these officers are trained, what the law is based upon, then they're going to shut down operation. I think that's your end game. They want ICE to stop mm-hmm. doing this. But if they base it on the rule of law, they're going to find out Border Patrol and ICE is doing exactly what they're going to do in accordance with law.
So
suspicion includes physical appearance. Isn't that unbelievable? That's the essence of racial profile.
It's the very essence of racial profiling. 855-752-4842. And I just want to give everybody a little brief history lesson on where reasonable suspicion, how did we get to this place? There is an excellent episode of Throughline, which is a podcast from NPR that actually traces this. Reasonable suspicion and what has become basically the evisceration of the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments began during Prohibition because you could put booze and cover it up and officers couldn't see it. So there was this what is a car? Is it like you're moving home or is it public property? So there was this huge explosion of cases that explored the contours of the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments. And over time, what you saw was the Supreme Court basically kind of twisting itself into pretzels. And if you line up Supreme Court jurisprudence from the last 25 years, you will find Supreme Court decisions that say things like, well, the person got off of the plane first, and that gave me a reasonable suspicion along with these facts. Another case will say, oh, they got off the plane in the middle of the plane, and that gave me reasonable suspicion. And another case says they got off at the end of the plane, and that gave me... It is basically any set of facts. Now, there is some exploration of that, but it has become so ad hoc that it has put whether or not your civil rights will be respected into the subjective judgment of each individual law enforcement agent out there at any point in time. If all they need is a reasonable suspicion and it can include, I don't know, your hair color, where you happen to be standing, are you walking into or out of a Home Depot? Do you look black or brown? Are you speaking a different language? I.e. identity characteristics. It means that who you are entitles a law enforcement officer to detain you, to stop you, to question you. And once that interaction begins, watch out. It means that these ideas that we can be free from the meddling of government. Remember that when conservatives used to be very concerned about this, they're not anymore. And I have been very, when I learned about what a Terry stop was, what reasonable suspicion was in law school, I went, oh my goodness. Because it places, again, in each law enforcement officer, and my hats off and my deep reverential respect to those who execute those duties with the seriousness and the restraint that doing that job requires. But when you got guys walking around with masks on who won't identify themselves, and the fact that you don't want to talk with them is now a basis for reasonable suspicion, where are we? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Mike from Muscoda, say hello to Matt. What you got for us this afternoon?
Well, I appreciate the dialogue with you guys. I always do. And I don't see anybody having any objections to a mask with the Black Lives Matters and the riots that went on in Los Angeles and elsewhere. Do you know what I mean? You just, this was self-induced. The Biden administration brought this to us, and we're trying to correct it. What about the 300,000 children that are missing? Bring that up. Talk about that once.
What 300,000 children that are missing? Are you just talking about during, the missing children?
During this whole duration, when Biden let everybody in, 18 million people, who knows?
So you're saying that it's the immigrants that are responsible for the 300 missing children, is that correct?
Well, they invited everybody in all over the world. Who knows who was here? Do you?
Mike from Muscadet, first of all, thanks for the call. But also, let's just talk a little bit. I mean, aren't you concerned about your own Fourth Amendment rights? Aren't you concerned that, you know, the government really doesn't have a lot of respect for your right to privacy? Does that concern you at all?
When did they?
Well, but they're supposed to. It's in the Bill of Rights right
you
there.
You would agree that that is a huge deal when we talk about if we have objections to our government, if we want to speak out and criticize our government, that our rights to privacy, the right to be left alone, is central to any democracy, small d, right?
What about our rights when we were forced to take a vaccine that wasn't even one, or we'd lose our job?
You weren't forced to. Listen, you were not forced to take a vaccine, and I agree with you that economic coercion, the threat of a job loss, but as
I mean, the only people who were threatened to lose their job were members of the military. And members of the military have to take a lot of shots. And, you know, I didn't hear a lot of screaming and yelling when it wasn't a shot about COVID. So, you know, we can talk about what happened with Joe Biden till the cows come home. But we're right here in a new administration with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump and his people, especially Holman here, just acting like Joe Tough Guy, you know, they're trying to take our rights away. And the U.S. Supreme Court's letting them do it. And we'll be back taking more of your calls. Thanks again, Mike from Muscadet. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, right here with Maggie, and we'll both be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined for this show by my co-host, Matt Rothschild, host of Wisconsin Forward. You can find his podcast wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We're just engaging a wee bit of great discussion, as I'd like to say, with some of our conservative friends on both the phone and text lines. We had Mike from Muscadet. One of the things that Mike brought up, and listen, I understand people's concerns about a cogent immigration policy. I think the way that Joe Biden went about talking about it, what his policies were, was not good. But I wish Mike wouldn't have hung up. Here's a couple of things. First of all, he made the assertion that government intrudes because it required vaccinations. Well, your kids have to get vaccinated to go to school. We're seeing the results of when that gets eroded with measles outbreaks in Texas. And almost every employer that I'm aware of, and I would challenge someone other than the military, which you pointed out well, appropriately, Matt, had both a religious and a medical exception to vaccine requirements. And if you weren't going to get a vaccine, then accommodations were made for people to work from home or to wear masks and social distancing. It wasn't your job or get the vax. You could, again, you could have a religious or medical exception to that, and they were generally accepted without testing or like probing that assertion by employees. So I really don't think that that's a parallel. And again, Mike also mentioned 13 million alleged illegal people came during the Biden. That number has been shown to be a gross exaggeration. It talks about number of encounters with both Border Patrol and all other law enforcement. So you can imagine that someone is going to have multiple encounters depending on how they're entering the country. It is not a total number of individuals. That's just incredible. And I was trying to get Mike to tell me, is he saying that 300,000 children were abducted? I couldn't even follow what that was, but it certainly sounded like, you know, potentially what might term as a conspiracy theory. Let's get one of our other good friends here on the line, CJ from Stoughton. Does the idea that a law enforcement officer can engage with someone and require them to engage with the law enforcement just based on somebody's race or where that they're in a Home Depot parking lot? Any concern about that, CJ?
I hope they do. I'd be happy to say where I'm from and prove it. But the 300,000, God bless you, Mike. Maggie conveniently doesn't do her research because that's from the Customs and Border Patrol. 300,000 unaccompanied juveniles, children, have been lost, Maggie, lost. They don't know where they are. Okay? So try to do a little research and not demonize and belittle.
Well, CJ, I will go ahead and look into that number. I'll speak about it tomorrow. I do believe that that is an overcount. Yes. Can I respond? Joe, I let Biden. You say what you want. CJ. Come on.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But what I was trying to ask you was a fundamental question about racial profiling. And it sounded like your answer to that was, that's just fine. Go ahead and do that.
Yep,
can't,
I don't care.
Can't we?
You can. You know what? Joe Biden. Mike's right. He brought this on by campaigning. He stood on the stage and told them to come. Play that tape. He said, "Please come."
So, CJ, again, I want to ask you a question. Entry, can I ask you a question? CJ, can I? I know you want to talk about Joe Biden. I know you do. What I want to try, and we certainly can. This is not a segment about Joe Biden. I want to ask you two questions. One is, do you think you might have a problem with racial profiling if you were black? And secondly, when we're looking at these issues around immigration, do you think that we should be having a real policy discussion about a pathway to citizenship? Or do you believe that every single person who is here without legal authorization, even if they have lived here for 25 years, have worked hard, have paid taxes, that all of those people should go? Those are my two questions. Might it matter to you if you are black?
For 4 years, Joe Biden averaged 6,000.
Sir, I'm just trying to get you to answer a question. Do you think your feelings about racial profiling might be different if you were black?
You want to make things right. Now all of a sudden you want to make things right after.
CJ, I've always wanted to make things right, sir. It's why I'll have this discussion with you on the radio. But I want to ask you a simple question. Do you think you might care about racial profiling if you were black?
Oh man, you guys have to keep racism alive. You know, look.
Okay, and with that, we're going to say goodbye to CJ for the afternoon. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, and all I wanted to say to CJ, and I wish you were in a more conversational mood and not so much in a yelling mood, CJ, because sometimes you are.
How many?
But when you said you're happy to say, when you said you're happy to say who you are and prove it, I mean, that's just not the America I want to live in. We shouldn't be in a country where it's show me your papers. That's not who we're supposed to be here in this country. We're not supposed to be grabbed by the police anytime and have them say, do you have a passport or not, or a federal ID? Otherwise, you're going to be handcuffed. That's not the country we're supposed to be living in, CJ.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'll just say this about racism. I don't think that those of us who stand against racial profiling are the ones that are keeping racism alive. Just a thought there. Matt and I will be back, as will every single one of you on the phone line. Stay with us. We're going to get to your calls on the other side. We got to continue this great discussion. CJ, please drive safely. Sounds like you're in the car, my friend. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Matt Rothschild. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.